Good afternoon, listeners of Laurier. This is your favorite DJ, DJ Hacksaw, coming to you live, or recorded, depending on how you listen to my show. I've had so much caffeine at this point, I am surprised I haven't had a heart attack, but it'll make this episode more interesting. If I do die on air, tell my brother he owes me $5. This is a rant episode of the Bravosier Hour, meaning I'll be ranting on a wide variety of topics and literally talking about Bravo Sierra. I'll be covering white privilege, conspiracies, my favorite shows on Radio Laurier, and much more. So get comfortable, grab a drink. I like a Canadian beer, which will remain nameless because of station regulations that say I cannot be sponsored by alcohol. And we'll dive right in. Now, as many of you regular listeners know, I have talked about this show on Radio Laurier called F the Patriarchy, although it's actually called, you know, The Word. It's a political commentary show here on Radio Laurier. Recently, the host on the show talked about white privilege, so I thought it'd be interesting to do a shallow-ish, deep-ish dive into that on the Bravosier Hour. Now, before we start, I would like to put up a disclaimer at the beginning of this episode because I do not want to get anyone mad at me that I don't need mad at me. I do not have a problem with F the Patriarchy at all. I've raved on a couple times, but, you know, it's all in good fun. I've spoken with the host, Shatha Elhad. I'm sorry if I butchered your name, Shatha. We've talked over Instagram, and she seems very polite, very kind, and generally concerned and committed about her political beliefs, and I can respect that out of anyone. Regardless of your political beliefs, if you're dedicated to those beliefs, good on you. I'm proud of you. I really want to have Shatha from F the Patriarchy on my show, so look forward to that episode. If any of my producers know her, please help me try to convince her to get on the show so we can talk about, have a civil conversation about what we think of Canada. Obviously, we're going to say we love it because Canada is amazing. One of the reasons I love Canada is because everyone has the right to voice their opinions because we live in a free society with freedom of expression. And I would love to have that type of freedom of discussion here on the Bravosier Hour. And I know you guys would love to listen to that sort of stuff. I know when I had Jeffrey Shaver on, who was the political candidate from Cambridge, we had a great conversation about a whole whack of topics that he wanted to cover. It was a great time. So we're going to be covering about that. That's where the inspiration for this episode came from, because I do follow Shatha on Instagram and her show's Instagram as well. I saw that she was covering it, so I just thought, you know what, I'll dive into a bit more of the historical context of it and some of the influences behind it, behind that movement anyways. And I thought, it could be interesting. Also, I will be talking about my favorite shows on Radio Laurier, conspiracy theories, because I love conspiracy theories, comedy, because that's what I do, comedy influences, and of course MMA, because what would I be doing without MMA? It's a great sport, everyone. Anywho, before we get into all that, I've got some amazing tunes for you, so let's dive right in. Here's the Dropkick Murphys. Now, I love that song. That is a very catchy song. You cannot tell me you do not love that song. It makes me want to get up doing a little Irish jig. I love it, honestly. Dropkick Murphys, one of the catchiest bands I know. They have great stuff all the time. Anywho, let's get down to the dirty stuff. So, the idea of white privilege is based on the The concept of white privilege is based on the idea that people who are Caucasian, so white, have advantage based off their skin color to the history of their people in Western civilization. For sure, now, I'm not going to deny that white privilege has existed For sure, white privilege did exist at one point during Western history, even until the 1970s, 1980s, for sure. And also, I'm not going to deny that in Western civilization, the majority of people in high-ranking power structures, you know, prime minister, CEOs, all those people, they're white. I can't deny that. It's the truth. But also the majority of the people in the West are white. Now, that's not to say that people of color or minorities cannot advance in Canada. Obviously not, because it's a democratic society and anyone can do anything. Go Canada. But you cannot right historical wrongs by blaming the current generations. That's sort of what white privilege is. It's saying, oh, you didn't earn that success because of your white privilege. That's blaming past generations for current people's success. You can't really do that, because if you look back at any cultures, most cultures look crappy if you look at the past. If we look back at modern Germany, we don't blame modern Germans for what happened with World War II, because we know that Nazis were like World War II Germans. Modern Germans are not Nazis. And if you think that, you're racist. And once we're willing to accept, and we're willing to accept the fact that ISIS does not represent all Muslims, because they don't. They're extremists. We're willing to accept that. Once we get to white people in the West nowadays, some people view them as the enemy of everything, because they don't view them as the enemy. Sorry, correction. They view them by their past and by the actions of others. I think this is not good for society as a whole. We need to be united as a country, not divided. That's why I want to have Shatha on, actually. I want to unite us. But as soon as we label one group as bad based on their race, belief system, or past historical acts of their ancestors, that group's become alienated and possibly uncivil, too. That's what we're seeing with a lot of white nationalists. They're getting, you know, pushed to the fringes, A, because white nationalism, and B, because they're having their white national identity enforced by the fact that people are blaming them, saying that they haven't earned their success because of their whiteness, which is wrong. And personally, I believe that this is due to the uprising of Marxism in modern culture. 1 in 5 social scientists state that they hold Marxist values, which, for all those who don't know, it's Marxism, which is to communism and Leninism and stuff along those lines. It's not a good thing to hold a Marxist ideology. Marxism is one thing, along with extremism of any form. It's Marxism and extremism can't be tolerated, whether it's conservative extremism, liberal extremism, we can't tolerate it. Here's just an example of why I believe we can't tolerate Marxist and communist values. Estimates vary. But in the Soviet Union, between 1919 and 1959, about 30 to 50 million people were killed by internal repression alone. That's not counting World War II. So that's why wherever these ideas were implemented, it's gone to hell. You can look at Soviet Russia. You can look at the early days of Cuba. I mean, these communist regimes do not work. But they're attractive because they seem rooted in a base for compassion, such as from each according to his ability to each according to his need. Caring for the needy is a good thing, and that's why communism seems so attractive. It says, oh, we need to care for those who are needy. It's a good thing. Caring for the needy is good. But the problem is that who lets to decide who the needy are? Well, I think we can all agree on certain types of needy, you know, the homeless, the disabled. And the doctrines put in practice of Marxists were deadly and catastrophic almost instantly, as I said. The ideology behind Marxism is predominantly group ideology, groupthink ideology. Either you're the oppressed or the oppressor. You're either needy or able. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't take care of the needy, like I said, taking care of the needy is a good thing. But the problem is, if you split off everyone into 7 or 8 categories, things like race, gender, religion, creed, at least 2 of those categories will make you an oppressor. So that's where it gets difficult, is to say, okay, who needs our help the most? And that's where white privilege comes into it again, because historically white people have been the oppressors of many groups. And they, but when we do the white privilege thing, they become the modern day bourgeoisie who the Russians fought to overthrow. White privilege is now a label that we use to shut down any free speech, any ideas that we disagree with, and we can just say, oh, your opinion doesn't matter because you have white privilege. For example, I said in my last episode that people need to take care of their responsibilities, and they need to take personal responsibility for their lives. Someone could have come back at me and said, well, I can't take personal responsibility for not getting into university because white people have all the privilege of getting in. They have all the white privilege, so they're getting in just like that. That's simply not the case. Look at Harvard. Harvard had a lawsuit filed against them recently because they're predominantly Asians were getting in. They were working hard, they were getting in. Harvard made it harder for Asians to get in, and that's racist. So now they're getting sued out of their brains, which is good. Maybe you can't get into university because you didn't have a high enough GPA to get in, or your program is very popular, so lots of people were applying, and some people had better GPAs or better qualifications than you. Now, anyone can do anything if they try hard enough, but some people try harder. Now, I'll admit, I personally have some privilege, but it's not because of my race. It's because my parents worked hard and gave me the opportunities that I needed to succeed. And it has nothing to do with my race. It has everything to do with hard work. The hard work of my parents, I can benefit from that. And hopefully I'll be able to work hard so my children can benefit from that. No one should be judged because of the color of skin, because that's racist and wrong. They should be judged by their work ethic and the content of their character. That is the show's official stance. Do not judge. Again, Martin Luther King said, I have a dream that one day people will not be judged by the color of their skin, but the content of their character. I'll throw in work ethic there, Martin. You're great. We need to work. If you can be a great guy, but lazy to a fault, I'm not going to hire you. If you're a hard worker, but a complete jerk, I'm not going to hire you. So you need to work hard and be a decent human being. If we can do that, I believe, and we treat people based on those aspects, not if they're white, black, Asian, Latino, whatever. Race shouldn't matter. White privilege is off the table. Take personal responsibility. If you don't like someone's ideas, talk to them about it. Race doesn't matter. Treat everyone the way you want to be treated. Judge them based on their work ethic and content of their character. We have laws in Canada that say you cannot threaten anyone with violence. That's good. Other than that, let someone talk. If they say, go kill this group, shut them down. But unless they're doing that, let them talk. Have a civil conversation. And just enjoy someone's company and judge them based on their work ethic and their content of their character. That's how we get along in Canada. That's why Canada is so great. We are very diverse. We're very diverse in Canada. We have many cultures that we can come from. We have many backgrounds we can come from. And that's why we need to take this principle even more into account nowadays, because we have immigrants coming in from all over the world, and this is great. They bring a whole bunch of new perspectives to Canada that we might not have had before. And if you're willing to talk to them based on their work ethic and their content of their character without judgment, then you can see, oh, I didn't know that about your culture. I like that. I can use that in my own culture. Or, oh, I don't like that. Your culture. Let's talk about that. Maybe I can change your opinions about it. So that's why we need to have these civil conversations. Sorry, folks. We're having a little technical difficulties just after my rant. Yeah, I love technology, right? So, Anywho, that's my little rant about white privilege. Here's some... thirst trying up from all that ranting. So we're going to have another song here coming up. It's some blessings for your eardrums on the Bravo Sierra Hours. Some more tunes from a veteran-turned-rapper who I personally love. And he's also a YouTube personality. He can be found on YouTube under A Combat Veteran. That's his YouTube channel. Please enjoy his song, Made My Peace. We'll be right back after this. We're back, folks. And I forgot to say this at the top of the show. Happy International Women's Day, everyone. Happy International Women's Day. Shout out to my mom and sister. Well, as you know, there are many shows here on Radio Laurier, not just my own. And I gave a shameless promotion for F the Patriarchy on the top of the show. And I do want to have the host on so we can talk about a whole boatload of stuff. But let's talk about the other shows on Radio Laurier, because they're all... We've got some very good shows, from music to sketches to all that stuff. Personally, I do have a top five favorite shows to listen to on this magnificent station. I cannot speak today. Maybe it's the caffeine. But yeah, there are a lot of great shows, but I have a top five list that really just... if I'm sitting down, I don't have a podcast to listen to, I'll listen to these guys, and I know it's going to be a good show. This is no... And just for the hosts who might be listening, this is in no specific order. And just the first one is my top, but the rest is, you know, just in a random order that I chose. And you'll see why. So my favorite show on Radio Laurier is obviously the Bravo Sierra Hour, because it's everyone's favorite show. Here on Radio Laurier. Should be everyone's favorite show anyways. Have you seen the stuff we covered? We cover everything. It's great. Now, another show that I love is Hot Guys. I love listening to those guys talk about sports. Kiefer and Jothan. It's great. Those guys are just amazing. And it gets really heated. And I love it. It's very entertaining to hear these guys talk. If you'll remember, I had Jothan on my show a little while ago. And we had a great time, talked about sports, we talked about his football career, we had MMA. I had a great time. I think he had a great time too. It was fun. It was entertaining. And we had a great time. Another show that I love is the Owen Variety Show. Owen is a funny guy, entertaining, a bit weird, but that's all right. His weird works, and I love it. It gives reviews of some really cool indie stuff, indie movies, music, stuff like that, and has some interesting stories at the end that are always great, and the ending is just fabulous. I also really wanted Owen on my show, actually, so sorry, I keep butchering her name. I'll get it right if I have you on my show, because you'll be able to tell me exactly how to pronounce it. But yeah, I want to have Owen on my show, too. I just want to have all the hosts on my show. Actually, funny story. Jothan from Hot Eyes and Owen and myself all went to Adult Collegiate Institute in Cambridge before we became Golden Hawks. So GCI from Cambridge is taking over Radio Laurier slowly but surely. We're coming for you, Radio Laurier. Another show I love, it's a newer show, it's called Flatbed Radio. The hosts are great, Mitchell and Kishi, again, don't know, come on the show, tell me how to pronounce your name, it'll be great. Those guys get into detail about a lot of music, they're very calm and soothing and interesting, love their show a lot, and they tell you stuff, they talk about stuff that's so cool, like they had the episode that's most recently up. Talked about Michael Jackson. It was really cool. I loved it. Great time. I'd highly recommend giving them a listen to. Again, guys, please come on my podcast. I love you. Number five is the Stellar Podcast, because this, Eric and Sam, the hosts, are undergrad psych students finding current and useful information from the field of psychology to help students with their academic lives. Great show, right? You're getting psych help for free. For free! That's right. It's a great time. And go listen to all these shows. That's Hot Guys. That's obviously my show, Bravo Sierra Hour. That's the Owen Variety Show, although I'm Owen Variety Hour, Owen Variety Show. I don't know what he's calling it now. Great show, though. And Flatbed Radio and the Scholar Podcast. They'll get you smart. They'll get you sophisticated. And they will get you entertained. Also, if you want just something interesting to do, listen to my show, then listen to F the Patriarchy. Get different viewpoints. It's good. Canada. Anyways, those are my favorite shows on Radio Laurier. What are yours? Hit me up. Let me know. You know, tag me in an Instagram post saying, hey, this is my favorite show. Why didn't you mention this? I'm sorry, I didn't cover all the shows on Radio Laurier. We have a lot of shows. But yeah, all the shows are great. Those are my top five, though. So, after this break, we're going to stay tuned. We are going to... No, you're going to stay tuned. I'm going to talk about conspiracy theories. We're going deep here, folks. We're going deep. But yeah, it's going to be a good time. Now, the song I'm about to play, it takes me back. Takes me back, folks. As most of you, as any good listener knows, I'm in the reserves, and this song takes me back because I listened to a lot of Florida Georgia Line on my BMQ and BMQ Land, and it's just all those memories I sort of associate with Florida Georgia Line and a couple of their albums, and it's a great time. So here's the good times that are associated with this album. Here is Glid Glid. No, I didn't stutter. Glid Glid by Florida Georgia Line. We've got all your catchy tunes here on the Bravo Sierra Hour. Let me tell you something. I love conspiracy theories. Some are ridiculous, like the Flat Earth theory, you know. And some are intriguing, like the JFK assassination. That one is really cool. I love it, honestly. So, personally, I love looking into the JFK assassination because there's so many just aspects you can look at from. You can believe the original idea that there was only one shooter who acted alone because he was insane. But that, I believe, is crazy. There are so many possibilities on how it went down. It'd be crazy to think that it was just one lone gunman. There's the angle that since JFK had used mob ties to get elected into office, the mafia had got mad when he wasn't upholding certain promises that had been made. So they hired someone to kill him and then had that guy murdered Oswald, who's the guy who killed JFK. They had him murdered so that he couldn't snitch when he went to court. That theory is just awesome. Just think about that. So, Kennedy goes to his friend Sinatra. He says, listen, Sinatra, baby, I need some help getting elected. I want to become president of these United States. Sinatra then goes to a couple friends who maybe do some shady stuff. Those friends sort of give people ideas to vote for Kennedy. You know what I mean. Then Kennedy gets elected. These friends think, okay, we got our boy in office now. He's going to give us some good stuff. He's going to be a little more lenient. Then he puts his brother in office as head of the FBI. And they're like, oh, this guy ain't lenient. We're getting cracked down on. We don't like this guy. All right, here's what we're going to do. Vinny. Hire that Oswald guy. He was in the army, wasn't he? Yeah. Hire him. He's crazy. Hire him. Get him to shoot JFK. We don't like him anymore. Oswald does it, and then they say, oh, crap. This guy can snitch us. Snitch on us. Ooh. That's why I don't do mob accents. He could snitch on us. So they get him assassinated. Whoo! That's a conspiracy theory that I love. Not saying it's true, but it's a possibility. It's very interesting. Another theory is that it was a group of Cuban nationalists working to kill Fidel Castro, who was running Cuba at the time, And they were told Kennedy was going to get him before they did, given that he had already tried and but failed with a Bay of Pigs attack. So they took him out before he got the chance to take away their prize of the honor of killing Castro. Another very interesting theory, because we all know that the Cubans at the time were not big fans of America, with the Cuban Missile Crisis and everything like that. So this is, again, very plausible. If you go listen to Joe Rogan with Joey Diaz and, there's this author. Great show, but they actually go deep in the story. The Cuban Mafia, going back to the Mafia, the Cuban Mafia killed JFK using Oswald. So good. So again, it could have been the Italian Mafia, it could have been the Irish Mafia, it could have been the Cuban Mafia, or it could have just been Cuban nationalists. Whew. We're getting deep, and it's only theory number two. There are so many theories on this. A third theory is that it was the CIA who wanted Kennedy dead because he was going to cut funding to their missions and didn't want to go through with certain missions. Think about that. And I'm not saying it was the entire CIA, but it might have been, you know, a couple of rogue agents who were thinking, oh, we want to do this mission, but Kennedy won't let us. He's not cut funding for that mission. We want to do this. We'll go kill Kennedy, then cover it up, make it look like someone else did. That way we're not involved. Bam. Whew. And all this is negating the fact that there was the magic bullet theory, which said that Oswald couldn't have killed Kennedy in the first place. All those other theories say that Oswald killed Kennedy. There's the theory that he didn't kill Kennedy because the shot that killed Kennedy was, from looking at the angle that where Oswald shot at Kennedy, would have been impossible to shoot him. That would suggest a second shooter or a third shooter. That brings up the theory of the Umbrella Man. The Umbrella Man was a man caught in a picture holding an umbrella. And he was just sort of dressed all in black, just sort of staring at Kennedy, acting calm while everyone else is freaking out because the president just died. Got domed. Whew. And he's suspected to be part of a secret society who wanted world domination, sort of like the Illuminati. Whew. We're bringing the Illuminati in here. Whew. Right, the Illuminati killed Kennedy, everyone. But get this. Weirdest one of all? Kennedy's vice president, Lyndon B. Johnson, was also theorized to be a suspect. Theory goes that he wanted more political power because he had run as a nominee for the Democratic Party and lost to Kennedy. And he was bitter about that, because he's a sore loser, and he wanted to keep some of his roles as a Texas senator, and he couldn't, because he became vice president, so he had President Kennedy assassinated, and it's a bit suspicious that he was the one that gained power. He became president after Kennedy died. So that's where this conspiracy comes from. He was bitter that he couldn't keep the power because he became vice president and he wanted to be a senator in Texas. But then he was like, oh, maybe I'll just have Kennedy killed, maybe? I don't know why I got so high there. But yeah, and I'm not saying one or the other of these conspiracy theories is true. However, I would suggest that the original thing, that Oswald was a lone shooter who was then killed by another guy, and it was just one man, not true. In the words of a famous Brazilian jiu-jitsu coach and conspiracy theorist named Eddie Bravo, look into it. By the way, if there are any conspiracy theorists out there in the KW region, let them know about this show. Please have them hit me up, because I love talking about this stuff. I love going deep on this type of stuff. It's great. Love it, and I just love taking deep dives like this. Anywho, we're going to do some more deep dives into my influences after this music break, so stay tuned. Here's some Thousand Foot Crutch for you. You know, people always ask me, Quinn, where did you get the influence for this show? Well, first of all, I just signed up and they gave me this show, and what do you think of me now? But I love this show, honestly. But as far as how I do my show, how I run my show, I've got three really big influences. My first is Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan is a comedian, actor, and MMA commentator for the UFC, who also hosts his own podcast with a variety of people, from comedians to politicians to Elon Musk. Pretty sure everyone remembers that infamous moment that broke the internet where Elon Musk smoked a joint and then his company stock went down about 6% or something crazy like that. That was Joe Rogan right there. He's also a very big pothead. My favorite, a couple of my favorite Joe Rogan episodes are numbers 911 or 911 and episodes 1255, because he had Alex Jones and Eddie Bravo on, and they were hilarious. They got drunk and high and talked about conspiracy theories, and it was just the funniest thing in the world. No matter what your thoughts are on Alex Jones, you can like him, you can hate him, you can think he's a horrible human being, but you need to go listen to these podcasts because they are the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. They are phenomenal. For those who might not know who Alex Jones is, he's a American radio host and conspiracy theorist. He hosts the Alex Jones Show, which airs on Genesis Communications Network across the U.S. and online. He runs InfoWars, about conspiracy theories, and websites like News Wars and Prison Planet. He's very controversial because some of the things he said and some of his views they used to hold but have since renounced. And he's just funny to watch and all because he gets very riled up and it's just hilarious. Take what he says with a grain of salt, but, you know, still fun to watch. He's hilarious on Joe Rogan, so go watch those episodes. But my second influence is The Church of What's Happening Now with Joey Diaz. Joey Diaz and Lee Syatt are two fabulous comedians. They have a wide variety of people on. They had John Bernthal on, who was Shane from The Walking Dead and the star of my favorite Netflix series in the world, The Smash Hit, The Punisher, and that was a great episode. Joey has actually appeared on Joe Rogan's podcast before, so that's how I learned about him. Listened to his podcast. Loved it. Joey is just a, you know, Cuban American, grew up in New Jersey, and he just tells life stories, talks with other people who have had similar experiences. If you don't already listen to his stuff, go give it a listen, or at least follow him on Twitter, because his Twitter account is hilarious. Bit vulgar, but hilarious. And my third influence is The Fighter and the Kid with Brendan Schaub, who is a former UFC fighter in the heavyweight division and now a comedian and podcast host, and Brian Callen, who is a comedian. Those two essentially do what I'm doing here, just talk about whatever on their mind and just cover wide variety of topics, and it's great. And they have a couple of assistants who help them out. They cover, you know, modern events, you know, things like that. And it's great. They'll have guests on from time to time. Now, fellow comedians, musicians. Another great show that I cannot sing enough praise for. Go give it a listen. But before you do, keep listening to this show because it is your favorite show on Radio Laurier. Let's be honest. Now, as many of you know, I'm also a stand-up comedian. I'm a regular at Wolf's. That's right. I do comedy. I love MMA, and I host a show. I'm almost Joe Rogan. But I have a lot of people who influence the way I do my comedy, and I just love watching them too. I cannot recommend these guys enough. I'm pretty sure they all have, stand-up specials on Netflix, so go listen to them. They're great. So yeah, my influences, number one is obviously Joe Rogan. Can't say enough good stuff about him. He is, you know, regardless of political ideologies or whatever, he's willing to talk to anyone and make them laugh. And he just is hilarious, you know. And he jokes about everything from the Kardashians to getting too high. It's hilarious. Go listen to him. Another one of my favorite comedians is Bert the Machine Kreischer. He is an amazing storyteller, and he has some hilarious stories. Go listen to his Machine story. It's on Netflix. Look up Bert Kreischer, and it's on YouTube. Look up Russian Mafia Machine story. It's phenomenal. And he's just hilarious. He'll take his shirt off during every show because that's just what he does. It's hilarious. Go watch him on Netflix and YouTube. Again, phenomenal. Number three, I talked about his show already, but Joey Coco Diaz, also known as everyone's Uncle Joey. He started doing stand-up in prison, actually. Funny story about that. And he's just a funny guy with a crazy life. And he says a lot of crazy stuff, too. And his reasoning for saying crazy stuff is, I love this quote, I've got one foot in the grave and another on a banana peel. I mean, yeah, it's hilarious. He also has a Netflix special, The Degenerates. I love it. It's a whole bunch of comedians just performing. He's hilarious on there. And he's given me and everyone some words to live by. And from your favorite Uncle Joey, if you don't walk on thin ice, you might as well dance. Number four for me, he's one of the most famous comedians in the world, Ralphie May. I love him because he really opened up the door for comedians to be separated from their jokes. Now, what I mean by that is he would say some stuff that really was not PC, but everyone knew that he didn't really mean it. And, you know, what he was saying did not reflect on him. He was just saying stuff that was that you weren't supposed to say, and to laugh at it because everyone knew it's okay, we don't actually mean this stuff. And he was great for that. He really broke open that door. I mean, literally, that was over 200 pounds. Hilarious. Number five is Theo Von. He has a great way of telling a story because he'll give you small details of story. Like, one time, I did coke with a hooker and Prince. And then you'd be like, oh, what happened? How'd that happen? Well, I met Prince at a bar. Why was Prince at the bar? And he'll just keep doing that. He'll give you small details to keep you intrigued, and he's great. He's also very good at this game in improv called Yes And, meaning that he'll take an idea. Say you say something like, oh, I really like tacos because they're spicy. He'll take that and add something even and bring it to a comedic conclusion. I can't do it, but he's a pro at it. So yeah, those are some of my favorite comedians and where I got my influence for my show and my comedy. So please do come out to Wilf's at 10 p.m. every Monday. Support me, support the show, and we'll have a good time. And here's what everyone's probably doing right now. We're working for the weekend. Woo, we are all working for the weekend. You know, folks, I haven't covered UFC in a little while, so let's dive right into the most recent pay-per-view, UFC 235. The main event was a light heavyweight championship bout between two-time champ John Jones, yes, that John Jones, the one with all the drug problems, and Anthony Smith. John Jones won by unanimous decision. Don't know why that was hard to say. Scores were 48-44, 48-44, 48-44, all for Jones. Good for John Jones. I mean, hopefully he's able to get his life back on track now after everything that happened with him. Then there was Tyron Woodley versus Kamaru Usman. I always forget how to say that guy's name, but he's a phenomenal fighter. And Usman won by, again, unanimous decision, and it was a phenomenal fight. He was able to technically dominate Woodley on the ground, wrestled him so well. He won 50-44, 50-44, and 50-45. That is a dominating win for Usman. I don't think Woodley prepared as much as he could have for that fight. He's just doing too much right now, and he's out of the sport, commentating, doing a whole bunch of stuff. And a guy like Usman needs your full attention, because he can put you on the ground if he wants to. He can stand with you if he wants to. And it's just, oof. You gotta give him your full attention. Woodley didn't do that and lost his title. Then you had the fight between Robbie Lawler and the undefeated Ben Askren, Askren won by technical submission via bulldog choke. But it was very controversial. Some people were saying Lawler wasn't out. I really haven't looked at it. Apparently what happened was the ref grabbed Lawler's arm to see if it was out. Lawler apparently gave him a thumbs up, and the ref didn't see it and thought Lawler was out cold, so he called it for Askren. Lawler evidently was a bit mad after that, but you know. It is what it is. Askren won the fight. First win in the UFC. Good for you, Askren. I hope he fights the title one day in the welterweight division, because that'd be very entertaining. Then you had Willie Zhang versus Tetsuya Torres. Willie Zhang won via unanimous decision. Not a huge fight. Fun fight to watch. Scores were 29-28, 30-27, and 30-27 in favor of Willie. So, good for you, Willie. And the first fight on the main card, we're going backwards here, so if you can track, this is not the main event. This was the first fight of the main card. Cody Garbrandt lost via KO to Pedro Munhoz. I am honestly not surprised by this result. Listen, I used to be a huge Cody fan. But he's just sort of fallen by the wayside at this point. He's on a losing streak, and if he doesn't pick up a solid win soon, I don't see him fighting in the UFC anytime soon. It's unfortunate, but I mean, it is what it is. And listen, I love Cody Garbrandt. Great fighter. Very entertaining. He's no Conor McGregor. He doesn't have a whistly business he can fall back on, or $100 million from a Floyd Mayweather fight that he can fall back on. So you just, you know, you gotta step up or step out, Cody, at this point. And that's another thing. Supposedly Conor McGregor is fighting Donald Cowboy Cerrone soon. That's gonna be a fun fight. Cowboy, I could see losing that fight only because Conor's striking, but Cowboy's wrestling is off the charts. He's no Khabib, but he can simply take... If Conor doesn't put more wrestling into his camp after that Khabib match, oof, he's in trouble with Cowboy. Now, Conor is a phenomenal striker. Knocked Aldo to the moon, 13 seconds. But he needs to be able to work off his bat, and that's what we saw in the first Diaz fight and the Khabib fight. He's not able to work off his bat, and that was a worry with the Mendez fight as well. Was he able to be able to going to be able to stand with Mendez, or was Mendez simply going to take him down? Evidently, Conor won that fight and became interim champ. But that's beside the point. But Conor hasn't fought in like 2 years, so no. Big fan, no casual fan knows the majority of the roster, and they're just tuning out. You know, it's just no one wants to pay attention to it. Ronda is gone, and she's in the WWE doing all right, and Conor's slowed down spectacularly, so they've got no big fighters. So that's just a huge problem. I mean, you got stars that you could promote. You know, it's like, why not promote Amanda Nunes, the first openly gay UFC champion? That's a great story. What about Francis Ngannou, who went from homeless to fighting for the UFC heavyweight title in just 5 years? That's a movie. That's not real life. That's a movie. But it happened in real life. How are these guys not getting promoted by the UFC? UFC needs to pick up its shorts and just get behind these guys. They don't have any stars right now. Anywho, that's my rant about the UFC, folks. I believe that's unfortunately all the time we have for today. Thank you all for tuning in. I love all my listeners. I want to have all those hosts I mentioned earlier on. Don't forget to come to Wilf's at 10 p.m. It's going to be hilarious as usual. Also great music. You stay free, and I'll see you next week here on the Bravo Sierra Hour. After this advertisement on Spotify, please get Spotify Premium, folks. It's cheaper. Trust me. So yeah. But get Spotify Premium. My station doesn't want to get Spotify Premium, folks. And now it's buying up time into the next show, which is going to be great. The guy next to me, he's amazing. He's not in the studio right now, but that's a shout out to him. I sort of forget his name, but you know, his show's still awesome. I listen to it once in a while. But yeah, I hope to see you guys next week. Shatha, please come on my show so you can teach me how to pronounce your name right, and let's have a proper discourse about stuff. Because that's what we need in this country. Anywho, folks, here's some good old-fashioned Johnny Cash to lead you into your weekend.